Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to visit elevationchurch.org to share how God is using this church in your life or to support the ministry financially. Today's message is from our series, The Power of Same. During this series, we are learning how to harness the power of staying the same as we follow the example of the one who is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We hope you enjoy today's message from God's Word.
Well, I've got something so exciting to share with you from God's Word, I guess I better get right to it. I told Brian in the parking lot, I said, I've been holding this all week, and the challenge is when God gives you the message real early in the week, to hold it, you just want to preach it to everybody you see. You just want to tell servers in the restaurant, hey, turn in your Bible to John 15. But I've been holding on to something, and I know that it will be helpful to you. Thank you, worship team. You are on fire today. Usually you're kind of lame, but y'all did good today. We're talking about the power of same. I'll get to the scripture momentarily, but first I want you to write down this deep, profound theological thought. We're talking about the power of routine in this series, right? And doing something regularly. And we're saying that this is the year of consistency. This is the year that we lock it in. Well, the reason is because, let me try again. Resolutions without routines are like Ferraris without fuel. They're cool to look at, but they won't get you anywhere. Somebody put that on Pinterest for me, because I don't know how to use Pinterest, but I think people would like it if you put it on there. You want it again?
Yes.
All right. Resolutions without routines are like Ferraris without fuel. They may look impressive, but they won't get you anywhere. And that's why God put it in my heart to start the year by saying, I know we've got goals that we want to get to and things we want to accomplish. Awesome. But as you're making your resolutions, realize that resolve can't change what routine created. Determination alone can't change a condition that decisions created. So I'm saying that you can't believe your way out of problems that were created by patterns of behavior. See, I've been holding it all week. I got like 70 things like that, Jimmy. Here it comes. I want to call this message today, the problem is the pattern. The problem is the pattern. I'm about to identify why you're so dysfunctional in this message called the problem is the pattern. Turn to three people around you that look like they're willing to talk and tell them the problem is the pattern. Touch them, say the problem is the pattern. I'm working on my John 15. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me. Remain in me. In this great passage, John 15, 2015, that we're all memorizing, we're learning that you can't reach unless you remain. We're learning that you can't reach like a tree can't reach, the branches can't reach unless it's planted. And you gotta be planted and positioned. You gotta be planted. We're learning that, and the key word in the passage, if you read it in the first 8 verses at least, is this word remain. 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 We're an upwardly mobile society, but Jesus, before he left earth, he said, what I want you to do, is remain. Remain. Remain, remain over and over again. It's a very repetitious passage if you read it. It's kind of even hard to memorize because everything starts out the same after a while because you're just repeating stuff over and over again, because Jesus believed in the power of saying as a teacher, as a communicator. And so he's saying remain, remain, remain. Because see, listen, the faith to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. It's good, isn't it? Because you've all seen these flaky people always stepping out in faith and stepping out in faith and stepping out in faith. But you got to have something to stand on once you step out. And so the faith to step out is worthless if you don't have a faithful spirit to stick it out. Turn to somebody next to you and say, stick it out. Yeah, sometimes you got to stick it out. Jesus is describing in John 15 a process. And he's also describing the purpose of pain in our lives. He says, pain is not pointless if you remain in me. Pain, your pain will not be pointless. I don't know about you, I don't mind pain, but I hate pointless pain. If I know there's a purpose to the pain, I can stick it out. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, I want to grow fruit inside of you. I want your life to bear fruit for those around you, but you've got to understand the pattern. You could say that Jesus is describing an agricultural process, and he's also describing a spiritual pattern, a pattern by which our lives produce and then are pruned through circumstances, through emotional challenges, through certain times where God might have to correct us, through seasons of waiting. He says that in those times you're being tested, you're being tried, but ultimately you're being pruned so that you can produce again. Produce, prune, produce. Produce, prune. I thought it was a nice metaphor. My heavenly Father is a gardener, like the Lord walks through the lilies. I like that image. But then right there in verse 2, right before I could get that image going good, he said, he cuts off every branch in me. Whoa. It's a different kind of gardener. Edward Scissorhands up in the garden. But I'm saying that. Just thought of that. Spirit of Levi Lusco just came on me. Hey, would you help me thank God for my friends Levi and Jenny Lusco joining us at every location? These are heroes in our generation, y'all. Faithful people. Love you, man. One of the greatest preachers just week in and week out that you'll ever hear either. Download their app and listen to him more than you listen to me, that guy. Woo! Woo! He's good. Well, Jesus is describing this pattern. I saw a movie this summer called The Way, Way Back. I don't recommend movies from the stage because people get offended. You know what the movie's rated? No, I just saw the movie on and I saw this one scene where one of the guys was playing Pac-Man. And he was playing Pac-Man. There was a grown man playing Pac-Man in the arcade. Now, for those of y'all that are under the age of 18, Pac-Man, your parents can tell you about a variety of games. Like my son asked me one time, what were video games back in the old days? And in the old days, we had Pac-Man. He was playing Pac-Man. And a little kid comes up to him. These are two of the main characters in the movie. And I actually have this clip from the script. I was reading this week thinking about the power of patterns, the power of patterns. Because the man is playing Pac-Man and the kid interrupts him. And he says, hey, leave me alone, to the kid. And he says, I normally wouldn't care, but I'm having the game of my life. I'm on the cherry level. And then the kid says, but that's the first level. And then the guy says, yeah, and I still have one man left. So like I said, it's the game of my life. And the kid says, you like Pac-Man? And the man says, what? It's a classic. And then he says, I'm not into all the bells and whistles of the other games, my man. And then the guy goes and chases one of the blinking ghosts on Pac-Man. And then he says to the kid, see, my mistake is that I get greedy going for all the ghosts and fruit instead of just clearing pellets. And then the kid says back to the man, you know, there's a pattern. You know, there's a pattern. You know, there's a pattern. In other words, you're just randomly chasing stuff, but there's a pattern to Pac-Man. I think Jesus is trying to get his disciples, segue. I think Jesus in John 15 is trying to get his disciples to perceive a pattern. A pattern. Because he's about to be crucified. And it's about to look like he lost. And it's about to look like, as, well, I guess we can say, as the pruning process happens to Jesus himself. As he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Leading up to the cross. Just before this happens, he wants the disciples to know, I know that life sometimes seems random. I know sometimes it feels like all these different directions, but there's a pattern. There's a pattern. Tell somebody next to you there's a pattern. You're going to talk to your neighbor a lot today. I hope you chose your seating pattern wisely. There's a pattern. In Romans 12, too, because when I heard that word pattern, I thought about this scripture. This is a well-known scripture. The Apostle Paul is trying to get the believers to see that there's a pattern. He sees them going this way and that way and chasing fruit and eating ghosts and all these philosophies, all these beliefs. And he stops and says, you know, there's a pattern. There's a pattern to this world. There's a pattern. He says, in fact, let me break it down for you. Do not conform, Romans 12, 2, to the
pattern.
Say it, to the
pattern.
To the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You'll be able to lock it in with consistency if you ever recognize the pattern. There's a pattern, Paul says. He says, the world isn't the problem. God loves the world. In fact, He so loved the world that He gave His only Son. It's not the world that's the problem. It's the pattern of this world. It's how this world thinks. It's how this world speaks. It's what this world is chasing after. The problem is the pattern. And if you don't see the pattern, if you don't perceive the pattern, you'll spend your whole life playing Pac-Man, chasing sex and chasing highs and chasing affirmation and chasing pleasure and chasing material gain and chasing accomplishments, never realizing that there's a pattern. There's a pattern. And so life doesn't seem so random anymore when you begin to perceive the pattern. If you never perceive the pattern, you will experience life as being a series of unrelated problems. Because everything is produced by a pattern. And so you got a problem over here and a problem over there and a problem with this person, problem with that person, problem in your career, problem with your kid, problem with them, problem. But I want to show you in the remaining time left today that maybe all those problems are the result of one pattern. And if you can perceive the pattern, you can address the problem. See, if I can observe your patterns in life, I can predict your problems. Life isn't as mystical as we make it. Yes, things happen sometimes that are the cause of the randomness of the universe. Some things happen sometimes that none of us can explain. But the majority of the problems in our life are the result of patterns. Now, there are some good patterns. I'll share them from the scripture because I've been on a pattern kick this week studying about all kinds of different patterns, not just in the Bible either. I mean, there's fashion patterns, design patterns, weather patterns, traffic patterns. I feel like Bubba Gump off the movie where he's doing the shrimp. Textile patterns, in computers there's coding patterns, musical patterns, that's something that I know a little bit about, not a whole lot. I mean, I'm an amateur musician, but when the musicians up here, when they memorize a song, they don't memorize the whole song. They memorize a series of patterns. So there's a verse that follows a pattern, there's a chorus that follows a pattern, there's a bridge that follows a pattern, and there may be other patterns, but what they're really looking at when they look at the song is a series of patterns. There's sleep patterns. My firstborn son Elijah, I was telling him about this sermon because I came home from preaching last weekend, and sometimes when my brain is still open, see, your brain is made up of neurons. And the neurons have nerve endings and they send signals. They send signals. The synapses send signals and they create neural pathways in your brain. And when you first start doing something, the neural pathway is kind of weak. Like that's why you had to concentrate riding a bike. Some of us still would have to concentrate to ride a bike. That's why you first had to memorize the route to get to her house. Now you've been in love with her so long, your car just turns that way. Just the love steers the car. Because you've been through it, but it's really those pathways in your brain that's being formed. It's a pattern. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a pattern. And a lot of our responses to situations aren't even conscious. It's just a pattern. It's just a pattern. And I marvel at the sophistication of God's word. Because long before neuroscientists were telling us about patterns, the scriptures were telling us about some patterns. Here's 2 Timothy 1:13, the one that y'all memorized a year and a half ago. Where Paul is trying to train Timothy to be a good minister. And he says, what you heard from me, keep as the what? He's trying to get him to make sure the gospel keeps thriving in the church. And he says, there's a pattern that you have to keep. You can't just get up and preach whatever you want and expect God to bless it. There's a pattern. There's a pattern. You can't disregard what came before you. There's a pattern. And sometimes the problem with us is we want to discard the values of the past. We want to discard the things that make a society great. And a society unravels when it disregards the patterns. And we want to progress so far. And we want to evolve so far. And we think we're so much smarter than everybody who came before us. But Paul said sometimes you got to keep the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. Here's another pattern. Romans 5:14 says, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. See, Adam was the first man. That's what Adam means. It means the man. But he wasn't the man. He didn't act like the man. In fact, he let his wife talk him into ruining humanity. And what we hate about Adam is he was a bad pattern. Because he sinned, we all sinned. The problem was the pattern. And a child comes into the world already having a sinful pattern. The problem is the pattern. I'm going to get a little practical for a minute. In a church, we have many different campuses. If the pattern isn't correct of the DNA of the church, then we're going to reproduce a perversion of the pattern that's only going to get worse with every location. Talking to you, Lake Norman. But see, if Lake Norman's messed up, there's something wrong with the original pattern. In a church, in a family, there are generational patterns. The problem a lot of time is that you're fighting the same devil that your great, 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 great grandfather fought. And the problem may look different in this day and age, but it's the same pattern. Same impulses, same addictions. It's the same pattern. The problem is the pattern. The problem is Adam. The problem is goes as far back as the record of humankind. The problem is the pattern. Hebrews 8, 5, and 6. The writer says they serve, talking about the Old Testament priests, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. And this is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. See, God showed Moses what to build. He revealed to Moses what to build. And he said, as you're building it, it's a copy of what's in heaven. So make sure you build according to pattern. I wonder if he wouldn't say the same thing to us about our lives, that we're building according to his word. See to it that you build according to pattern. Because if you get off the pattern that's set forth in this word, you might break the pattern, but the pattern's eventually going to break you. The problem is the pattern. And when I was talking to Elijah about this, he said, Daddy, you know there's patterns in math too. That wasn't my subject. That was not my subject. And I said, I know, buddy. I bluffed him. I remember something about patterns. I said, but tell me what you think about when you think of patterns in math. Because I might have learned it one way and you learned it another. I'm pulling out my phone real quick, getting on Google while we're talking. He said, yeah, patterns in math. He said patterns, because I told him, I said, I'm going to put as a sermon title next week, I'm going to put the problem is the pattern. And I try to show him my sermons sometimes. I try to show my kids my sermons because I figure maybe one day they'll be preachers if they want to. They don't have to, but it'd be a nice pattern to follow. And I want them to have a good pattern. So I'll show them sometimes and I'll make it, force them to listen to my sermons before I preach them to you. And now remember, this is on Sunday. I was still, my brain, those neurons were still firing because I've been preaching. And I still had that preaching flow, but I was trying to play Mario with my son. For those of you 16 and under, Mario. No, Mario had a resurgence. How'd that even happen? The generational favorite. But it's a pattern. It's a pattern. I don't know what that had to do with it, but I threw it in. And he said, yeah. He said, math. It is, he said, in a multiplication problem, the problem is a pattern. I said, oh yeah, I remember that now. Like, no, I'm serious. I remembered. Like, if you want to put, what's the one we had, John, that we were doing? We were doing 111 times, what did we do? Times six. If you did 111 times six, it would make 666. And that's called the product. So you got 111 times six. That's the problem. That's the multiplication problem. But the problem is a pattern. It's just 111, 111, 111. It's 111 six times. I know you know this. I'm just reviewing it because I'm going to go somewhere with it in a minute. You're going to love it. But that's the problem is a pattern. So it's 111, 111, 111, 111, 111, 111. 111 six times is 666. That's called the product. The product. Now 666 isn't usually the kind of number that you want to come up with. And so let's say I did it 111 six times, six 111s. That's the pattern. That's the problem. That's what's on this side of the equation. Well, for you, it's on this side. So it's on this side of the equation. That's the pattern. That's the problem. And here on this side is 666. That's the product. That's the answer. You know what the Lord told me to tell you out of that? If you don't like the product, you got to change the pattern. And see, this is so critical because some of us don't like what we're getting in our life. And we don't like the way our relationships flow. And we don't like the way our bodies look and we don't like the way our bodies feel. And we don't like the way that we go running around from this thing to that thing. And we don't like the way that our lives are constantly feeling empty. That's the product, 666. So if you don't like that product, you can hate the product all you want. You can stare at the product all you want. But the problem is not the product. The problem is the pattern. Now, I'm coming after your excuses. Because so often, we want to blame the tree for the fruit that's not there. We want to blame God for the blessings that he didn't give. We want to blame people for the opportunities that they didn't let us have. We want to blame circumstances for the way things are. We want to blame genetics for the reason we're kind of fat. We got all these problems. All these problems. But folks, might I suggest that the problem isn't what they did to you, what they said to you, what they didn't do for you. The problem is the pattern of your response. It's the pattern. Let's change the pattern. If we put 111 one more time, and now we got 111 times 7, now we got 777. That's a good product. How many of you like that product better than the 666? But you can't change the product if you don't change the pattern. You can't change your relationships if you don't start being kinder. You can't change the way people respond to you if you don't start sowing some good seed. You can't change the way your kids act if you don't start sowing some behavioral discipline and some TLC and some encouragement sometimes. You can't change the way your career's going if you don't start changing your work ethic and your work habits and your interrelations. You can't change your wisdom unless you change your input, because the problem is the pattern. Tell seven people the problem is the pattern. The problem is the pattern. Now, so often what the devil will get us to do, since we don't perceive the pattern, everybody perceives problems. That's easy. I told our staff this week, anybody can perceive problems. That doesn't make you a leader. That's not going to help you grow. That's not going to change your life. Anybody can perceive problems, but the ability to perceive the pattern beneath the problem could change everything. So the enemy will do this. He'll take a pattern that's in your life and he'll try to get you to think that a changeable pattern is a permanent problem. Okay? And this is what our minds do. This is where we mess up. This is where it goes wrong. The problem is the pattern. But let's say you make a statement like this. I'm not a morning person. Okay, how many of you would make a statement like that? Yeah, me too. Been saying that all my life, and I stand by it. Those neurons that fire to the other neurons with the pathway, I was born with something that wants to stay up late. You know, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy with whatever. Early to rise for me makes me mean and hateful. Makes me suicidal, homicidal. But sometimes we say something, we make it a permanent problem. I'm not a morning person. But for some of us, it's the pattern. See, that's not like a personality trait for some of us. I'm not a morning person. Well, my pattern is I stay up late watching one more episode. I stay on my electronic devices until 11:30 p.m. I think about stressful stuff all day long. I don't ever pray about anything. I worry about everything. I lose my cool with the kids at 9:30. I drink too much water, have to get up to pee 3 times during the night. I'm just trying to be practical, preacher. You can't always just be theological, the tabernacle that was built not with human hands. Sometimes you got to talk about having too much water before you go to bed. Help people out. I didn't lay out my clothes the night before. Everything I wanted to wear was dirty. I ate half a bag of popcorn. I drank caffeine till 8:30 p.m. It's all up in my system. So I'm not a morning person. No. You have some bad nighttime patterns. I'm preaching to myself. Holly, I feel like a hypocrite. In some ways, I just read you my list, but let's pretend that you don't know that. Let's pretend we're talking about you. I'm not a good student. I'm just not a good student. Many of you said that all through school. Many of you are saying that all through school. So now it's not just even a problem anymore. It's a personality type. I'm a bad student. Like that's an ethnicity. This is permanent. It's permanent. I'm a bad student. I'm just not a good student. No, you have horrible patterns. You have patterns of procrastination. Can I preach about this? Parents, can I preach about this? So, we make big sweeping statements over stuff that is really systematic decisions. And we make patterns very personal. But you are not your patterns. Some of our problems are not the result of destiny, they're the result of decisions. And we get destiny confused with decisions. We think this is the way it's always supposed to be because this is the way it's always been. But I came to announce somebody, if you'll change the pattern, God can change the product. You're not stuck like this. You don't always have to be like this. You could get a new pattern. If you couldn't, Paul wouldn't have said, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Apparently, there's something you can do to change the pattern. Come on, we got to change the pattern. We come to church, ask God to change the product. He said, you change the pattern and the product will change. My life is hectic. No, you're just always in a hurry. That's the pattern of your life. So life feels hectic because you're in a hurry. Hurry is your pattern. Hectic is your product. If you want to... Now, you got to pay attention. I got a lot more of those too. I'm disorganized. I have no energy. I don't like to exercise. I can't afford to tithe. We interpret our decisions as our destiny. But everything changes. Everything changes the moment that the Word of God taps you up on the shoulder and says, you know, there's a pattern. You know, it's not just random. You know, it's not just fate for you to be this way. See, in my own life, I've had to learn, and I'm still learning. my own patterns, my patterns of discouragement and defeat. Sometimes I get discouraged, and listening to my own podcast doesn't help. It's even more discouraging sometimes. Do I really sound like that? And I start paying more attention lately to my patterns of defeat and my patterns of discouragement so that I won't just interpret it as the devil's attacking me. Well, this is number the devil. Y'all give him too much credit. It's really just a pattern. It's really just a pattern. It's neurons and neural pathways. There is a devil, but this is his headquarters. And it's a pattern. It's a pattern. When personally, I'm an achiever. I like to achieve. I'm driven. So when I start my day off without accomplishing anything that I feel like I can check off, if too long goes by in the day before I can check something off, I get discouraged. So I learned how to at least do one thing, make up the bed, put something in the dishwasher. I would never unload the dishwasher in the morning, but I could put something in the dishwasher if it's already dirty. You know, make a phone call I need to make, send an encouragement. Sometimes my patterns of discouragement is because I'm waiting for encouragement to come to me. And I could get encouraged by encouraging somebody else. And so when the pattern of your life, you gotta pay attention to your patterns. Because I realize that sometimes when everything is all about me, all about me, all about me, I become very discouraged and defeated. When I go do something for somebody else, just even the smallest thing, what does it do? It changes the pattern. It changes the pattern. And when the pattern of my day changes, the product of the day changes, so that at the end of the day, I don't feel discouraged. I might have started discouraged, but when I found out what was discouraging me, when I saw the pattern, I turned that thing around and I ended my day on top, not on bottom, because I recognized the pattern. When I speak negatively about others, even in a joking way, I notice that creates a pattern of negativity, a pattern of judgment. You know where Jesus said, if you judge others, beware or you'll be judged yourself. I always thought other people were going to judge me if I judged others. What I found out is if you speak judgmental words and have judgmental thoughts, you turn on yourself and start judging your own self because you started a pattern of judgment in your mind. And now you're in enemy held territory and it created a pattern of pessimism and you'll be your own worst enemy. And so I can catch my pattern. Oh, the reason I feel horrible is because I just said 3 toxic things about people. I wondered what would 2015 be like if I lived the whole year like I had butt dialed the person I was talking about in my pocket while I was having the conversation about him. I'm not quite ready to take it to that level yet, Bernie, but pray for me. I want to go there. Patterns. You got to learn your patterns. Pay attention to your patterns. It's good to pray, okay? And pray and ask God to do things in your life, but also pay attention to your own patterns. Yeah, don't let prayer become a substitute for pattern discernment. So you got to learn your patterns. I've learned my patterns of distraction. So I know that when I'm doing something important, that I'm tempted to be distracted. And when I'm working on something and I feel myself distracted about it, I realize that my distraction is a sign that this is really important. For me, I found out that sometimes it's more fun to talk about my sermon than to actually prepare it. And so my pattern of distraction is I'll do anything other than work on the thing I'm supposed to work on. And if you learn your patterns of, you see, if you make it personal, you say, I'm a procrastinator. Again, you don't get to just make that your personality type. Not if you're a child of God. Not if you got royal blood flowing inside of you. Not if you're a changed creation in Jesus Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, with a new heart, with new desires. You got to learn your patterns. Learn your patterns. And if you don't like the product, change the pattern. Some of us have patterns of self-pity. You embrace the feeling of being excluded. patterns of self-pity. Immediately interpreting things people say and don't say as a personal insult to you. It's a pattern. What is that pattern producing in your life? Do you like it? You want to pass it on to little April? Do you want to pass it on to Jake? Is that going to be your legacy? Because you will have a legacy and it will be your pattern. Parents, this is sobering. We set a pattern for our kids. They will fight with their spouse the way they saw us interact with ours. It's a pattern. One of the best things my dad ever did for me, and I tell this about once a year because it was so powerful, because he recognized the pattern. He used to tell me when I was about Elijah's age, so around 9, this course of conversation started. He would tell me, he'd say, son, everybody in your family has been an alcoholic on my side. On my side of the family, everybody's been an alcoholic. It's in your genes to be an alcoholic. So when you go to a party in high school and they offer you alcohol, I want you, before you do it, because it's, you know, everybody else is going to be doing it, but I want you to understand the, he didn't use the word, but he was teaching me the power of that pattern. He was saying, it's in your, you're predisposed to like it. But he gave me a vision. He said, you could decide to be the first verdict on this side to make a decision to break the pattern. To say, I'm not passing this pattern on to another generation. And some of us need to decide, I'm not passing compulsive spending on. I'm not passing this on. I'm not passing anger and temper. I'm not passing this pattern on. I'm changing the pattern. I'm changed by Jesus. I'm changing. You can have a good heart and horrible habits, and your heart can't overpower your habits. You got to change the pattern. I'm telling you why we fail. It's because we never saw the pattern. I don't mean to reference so many movies today, but I went and saw this other movie. My friend found out I was preaching about patterns. He said, you must see The Imitation Game. It's a movie about the mathematician who allegedly, according to the movie that I saw, he went in and broke the code that the Nazis used, the Enigma code, that helped the Allies win World War II, or end the war 2 years earlier than it would have been ended, saving, in effect, 14 million lives. And the way he did it on the movie, y'all, he broke the code. Because enemy communications would go out every morning. But they were so encoded because the enemy was so brilliant that the messages that were being sent to tell the positions of the battleships and the location and the timing of the next attack were so encoded that unless you break the pattern, you can't predict the attack. Now, I wasn't watching the movie thinking about it historically. I was thinking about it theologically. Because I was thinking, you know, the devil is so brilliant that he will encode his attacks so you don't see them coming. And you'll think it's just a problem. It's just a circumstance. You'll think it's just a person. You'll think it's just a thing. You'll never see the pattern. But in the movie, y'all, the mathematician, he noticed that every morning the Germans were sending out a communication, and there were three key elements every morning in the communication. Three key elements. Wasn't it three? It was three key elements. And they would use that communication with the three key elements once they identified the three key elements, and they fed that into their computer, and it broke the code. And once they broke the code, over time, they were able to win the war. Do I have time to talk about Jesus in Luke 4? Okay, two things. Once Jesus went out into the wilderness, the devil came to him and said, hey, if you're really the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Jesus said, man doesn't live on bread alone, every word proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the enemy said, I want you to take a look at the kingdoms of this world. And he showed him in his mind, the battles in the mind, He showed him all the stuff he could have. He said, if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, it's written, you worship the Lord your God only, him only shall you serve. Get away from me. And then the enemy said something interesting. He said, okay, throw yourself off the temple and the angels will bear you up in their hands. And Jesus said, it's written, don't put the Lord your God to the test. There were three different tests that the enemy put Jesus through. Three different tests before his ministry really began in full force and in power. Three different tests. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Pattern of this world. Romans 12:2. 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16. I think we're about to crack the code, y'all. I really do. I think we're about to crack the code. 1 John 2:16. He said, love not the world or the things in the world, for everything in the world, the pattern of this world, this is what the enemy uses to attack you. This is what he uses to make you susceptible. This is what he uses to get you to do the things you don't want to do anymore. This is what he does to lure you back into the old way of life. He said everything in the world can be broken into three categories. The lust of the flesh, what you feel like doing. The lust of the eyes, what you see. And the pride of life, what you want apart from God. Comes not from the Father, but from the world. Oh my God. There's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride. Wait a minute. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus had been fasting 40 days. He was hungry. He felt like eating. Turn the stones into bread. Lust of the flesh. Here's all the kingdoms of this world. If you'll bow down and worship me, lust of the eyes, what you see. I'm going to come back here so I don't spit on anybody when I'm about to fire up in sixth gear. Throw yourself off this temple and prove that you're the Son of God when the angels come to rescue you. Is that not the pride of life? Are these not the three essential ways that the enemy is still attacking us today? Is this not the pattern by which he perverts God's purpose for your life? But I got good gospel news. Jesus broke the code. Hey! He broke the code, y'all. He broke the code. Somebody needs to know. He broke the code. He broke the chain. He broke the pattern. He changed the game. He did it. He did it. And the problem is the pattern. Yeah, the problem is the pattern. What do you mean? I mean, the problem is the pattern. You already said that. Yeah, but I'm saying different. I'm saying the same problem that the devil is trying to use to attack you is the pattern that God is going to use to bless you. Did you get it? That's the part that got me fired up. Because when I realized that the thing that the enemy will send in my life to try to destroy me is the thing that God will use to deliver me, I thought about Joseph, who got thrown in a pit, who got locked in prison. But when he stood before his brothers, he said, don't worry about it. What you meant for evil, God meant for good, for the saving of many lives. I wish you'd get on your feet. Help me preach this. Your problem is God's pattern. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Watch this, Luke 4. For he has anointed me. He's anointed me to open the eyes of the blind. That's a problem. But you know, when Jesus was ministering, he went around opening blinded eyes. Why? Our problem became his pattern.
He said he's anointed me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Everywhere Jesus went, people were getting set free. And some of us are bound by addictions and bound by depression and bound by thought patterns and bound by discouragement and bound by despair and imprisoned by insecurities. But Jesus said, your problem was my pattern. I came to set you free. Come on, push me, boys, push me. Our problem was his pattern. Somebody go ahead and praise him like you know what I'm preaching about. Like you know what it means to see God turn your weakness into strength.
We serve a God, y'all. We serve a God who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble. See, with any problem, there is a pattern. Here's the pattern. He said, in all your trouble, God comforts you so you can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that you yourself receive from God. We want to crack the code this year. We want to crack the code. And if you crack the code, you can win the war. If you can crack the code, if you can identify those patterns, man, it seems like every time this happens in my life, I respond this way. And when I push people away, then I get lonely. And when I get lonely, the devil picks on me and he isolates me. But if you can see the pattern, you can learn how to say to somebody in your life, I'm hurting right now. I need some help. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm strong. I'm weak. And your problem will become your pattern. I promise. I promise. I feel the Spirit of the Lord so strongly on this message today. Because I feel like what's going to happen today is not that the war is over, y'all. It's not that the battles stop. It's just that now we perceive the pattern. And now we're going to see it for what it is. And we're going to see the things that used to feel random to us. And we're going to say, you know, there's a pattern here. We're going to offer our weaknesses to God and say, God, you know, this is how I feel and this is what I think. But God, change my thought patterns. Change. I want to think like you, God. That's why I'm going to read John 15 every day, because I want to think like you. I want a new pattern. How many of you want a new pattern? A new pattern. Come on, lift your hands in the presence of God. Father, we thank you that there is no problem that you are not the solution to. We thank you, Lord, that there's nobody in a prison you can't set them free from. Hallelujah. We thank you that our problem became your pattern. We thank you that the Spirit of God is here to break yokes, to destroy burdens, to expose patterns, to change thinking, to change hearts, to change habits. We thank you, Father, that you broke the code through your Son, Jesus, that the code is broken, the curse is broken, the pattern is broken, and victory is here in Jesus' name. Come on, let's shout about it.